Hello, this is Barbara Ridenour with the Decatur Herald and Review, dated Friday, March 28th, 2025. We'll start today's reading on the front page, where your story lives, arts and entertainment. For this show, everybody rocks. Millikan Kiwanis Club stage fun kids play for community. The students at Millikan University School of Theater and Dance can always use a little help from the community. The latest children's production, Everybody Rocks, 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 is being produced by Decatur's Golden Kiwanis Club. The show will be on stage Saturday, March 29th, Sunday, March 30th, and Sunday, March 30th at Millikan's Virginia Rogers Theater. The local Kiwanis Club has provided support for the spring children's show for nearly 30 years. They are excited to see what we do, said Millikan sophomore and costume designer Jillian Elliott. They always donate all that money back to the children's facilities. Ticket sales will help benefit the Golden Kiwanis children's programs as well as projects with the Children's Museum of Illinois and Scoville Zoo. According to Golden Kiwanis president-elect Tom McQuistion, the first show was in 1994. Dave Golden was the chair of the theater department at Millikan at that time, he said. Since then, Denise Myers has taken that over. It's been a success every year that we've had it with Millikan. The Kiwanis members are impressed by the work the students do to create the play, according to McQuistion. It's been a win-win situation because it allows the students at Millikan to apply their talents with another audience, a children's audience, he said. And all that money stays in the area and is used for the youth. They've been very generous, said Millikan sophomore Maggie Tiemann. They've put a lot of work into this program and into this side of theater. Students Evelyn Rose Utterback and Jackson Mackling are co-writers of the musical. The story itself is a big collaborative effort, Utterback said. I like to consider everyone in the cast a writer. The original story follows a little girl who wants to be a rock star but doesn't know how to become one. According to the cast, the musical is uplifting and encouraging. It's a very feel-good musical, Utterback said, and there's a lot of comedy in there too because we know kids love to laugh. Sarah Seaman plays the part of Melody, the lead character. She gets transported to these magical realms of different modes of music, Seaman said. It's all through mask characters, and they're all from previous productions, said Raina Johnson, Millikan Jr. Like other actors, Johnson performs several characters in a cast of nearly 30. I'm a cat and also a butterfly, she said. As the costume designer, Elliot worked with members of the Kiwanis Club to create the costumes. They are very generous and very kind with costumes and set pieces, Elliot said. Each realm uses various animals to reflect the mode of music, the cast said. In the land of rhythm, they're all using brassy masks to show the instruments that are used, Seaman said. The land of silence, that's a lot of butterflies and floral things to show the peacefulness of nature. The cast communicates with the young audience, often throughout the play. We're constantly talking to them to keep them not only awake, but also feeling included, Seaman said. I think they will respond, and if they don't, I will encourage them to respond. McQuistion said he looks forward to watching the show as well. It's geared for people between 3 and 90 years old, he said, and we just want to present this to the community. On state news on page State and National News on page A2, Religion in Illinois, Faithful Explain Why They Fast. Practice part of Lent, Ramadan Observations. This is from Chicago. In many Catholic parishes, people are gathering for Friday night fish fries because they abstain from eating meat on Fridays during Lent. In Muslim homes, people are gathering every evening for iftar dinners to break their sunrise to sunset fast from all food and drink, including water, during the holy month of Ramadan. Lent, the 40-day period before Easter on the Christian calendar, always occurs at this time of year. Ramadan rotates around the calendar, taking place in various seasons because of the Islamic calendar is calculated based on the lunar calendar. This year, though, they coincide with Christian fasting taking place at the same time as Muslim fasting. Sabil Ahmed, director of the Gain Peace Project, an Islamic outreach organization that educates Americans about Muslims, drew comparisons between Lent and Ramadan. Both religions, traditions focus on fasting as a means for spiritual growth, which Muslims might call spiritual purification, said Ahmed of Morton Grove, who has ties to the Majid-e-Sufa Mosque in Skokie and holds a PhD in Islamic studies with a specialty in comparative religions. Both encourage giving up physical things such as food, pleasures, or indulgences in order to focus followers' minds on the spiritual. It gives us discipline, said Ahmed. When we are fasting for 30 days, it is like a boot camp for us. It is going to transform us into a better Muslim, a better family member, a better neighbor, a better human, and a better worshiper of God. Bishop Timothy O'Malley of the Catholic Archdiocese of Chicago offered his thoughts on fasting, saying, "It's a form of prayer, and self-denial helps people realize, wow, I'm missing this stuff, but it's not God. It's not the most important thing in the world. Our relationship with God is much more important than our relationship with food." O'Malley also talked about self-discipline as a way to focus on the spiritual. It's a discipline, so okay, I'm not going to eat that candy or meat. It's a good day to be focused on God, he said. Both traditions have roots in the holy writings of Christianity and Islam, said Imam Hafiz Ikhlas Ansari of the Muslim Education Center, Masjid of Morton Grove. He quoted a verse from the Quran that prescribed fasting for Islamic believers. "The way it was prescribed for the people before you," meaning the Judeo-Christian prophets and key figures Moses and Abraham, as well as Jesus, whom Catholics regard as God, the Son of God, and one of the three who make up the Holy Trinity. Muslims regard Jesus as a prophet, Ansari said. The Christian Bible also mentions numerous instances of central figures in Christianity fasting. For example, the New Testament's Gospel of Matthew describes Jesus fasting in the desert for 40 days. Ansari said Islamic believers fast to attain God consciousness and righteousness and strengthen their relationship with God. Also important during Ramadan, he said, is to do God's work in the world. We do it, strengthen our faith during Ramadan, through service to humanity and all creation, he said. We want to serve people and take care of everything God has created. He said that could include helping those in need, facilitating peace through justice, giving to charity, and on. The Reverend Louis J. Camelli, a priest in the Chicago Archdiocese, wrote in an essay on Catholic Lent, "Whatever we do during Lent, for example, prayer, fasting, and works of charity, certainly isn't meant to prove something to God or to ourselves. They serve to hollow out a space for God's Spirit to move in us. Ramadan and Lent fasting do differ in some important respects, though. During the approximately 30 days of Ramadan, Muslims rise before dawn to eat breakfast, and then eat and drink nothing until sunset," said Muhammad Talha, the resident scholar for Sufa educational guidance at the Masjid-e-Sufa Mosque in Skokie. Muslims typically break the fast with an evening meal at sunset called iftar, either at home or sometimes at a mosque or gathering. Ramadan ends with an Islamic holiday called Eid, which is expected to fall March 30th or 31st this year. O'Malley said Catholics fast for Lent by abstaining from eating meat on Ash Wednesday, which falls 40 days before Easter, and Fridays that fall between Ash Wednesday and Easter. Every year, Easter falls on this first Sunday following the first ecclesiastical full moon that occurs on or after the day of the vernal equinox, according to the Astronomical Applications Department of the U.S. Naval Observatory. It always falls between March 22nd and April 25th. This year it falls on April 20th. O'Malley said some Catholics also take fasting a step further and eat less during fasting days, sticking to simple meals of bread and water. Some groups within the church have also increased their dedication to God by keeping the diet of the prophet Daniel, going 40 days without meat and only eating fruits and vegetables. Last year, O'Malley said he asked a group of children whether they had given up Takis, spicy snack chips, for Lent, and no one raised their hand. This year, more than 10 kids raised their hands. So I was pretty impressed, he said. So to say you can give up Takis, you won't die, it won't be the end of your life, and maybe you learn Takis aren't the most important thing. And the photo here shows Cardinal Blaise Kupich holding up prayer beads from Pakistan, given to him as a gift by the Muslim Community Center Board President Masood Bijapuri, a second person from the left, in Morton Grove during Chicago's 26th annual Muslim Catholic Iftar dinner on March 4th, 2025. And there are several people in the picture, and the cardinal is standing at the podium holding up the beads with a big smile on his face, and Masood Bijapuri is in the background with the big smile, and another person is holding open the box of the present given to the cardinal. Illinois politics, Dems, GOP too late on redistricting. Springfield, two elections have come and gone since the Illinois General Assembly passed new legislative maps, and Democrats' attorneys argue in a new court filing that Illinois Republicans have lost their opportunity to challenge the maps in court. A case brought to the Illinois Supreme Court by House Republican Leader Tony McCombie, Republican of Savannah, asked the court to reject the current legislative map for its partisan bias and have a special master redraw the districts, but it is not yet known whether the court will take the case. McCombie, along with four voters, alleged the voting district maps are not compact, a requirement of the state constitution, which has led to allegations of gerrymandering in favor of Democrats. While the court hasn't yet said whether it will hear the case, it did ask both parties to explain whether McCombie and the other plaintiffs filed the lawsuit in a timely manner, a factor to be considered in deciding whether to take the case. The Senate Republican Caucus is not involved in the case. A lawsuit from multiple parties challenging the map was rejected in 2021 by a federal three-judge panel, which rejected arguments that the map diluted the voting strength of racial minorities. However, Republicans' lawyers argue new data from the 2022 and 2024 elections prove the map is the product of partisan gerrymandering. The Illinois Attorney General's office, on behalf of the State Board of Elections, said in a filing, it isn't taking a position on the complaints' timeliness. However, the court allowed House Speaker Emanuel Chris Welch, Democrat of Hillside, and Senate President Don Harmon, Democrat of Oak Park, to intervene as defendants. Leading the case for General Assembly Democrats are three well-connected attorneys in Democratic circles, including Mike Casper. Casper is a longtime elections lawyer who previously worked as a top attorney for the Democratic Party of Illinois and was former House Speaker Mike Madigan's go-to lawyer for political issues. Casper, who was described by Representative Ryan Spain, Republican of Peoria, at a State House news conference last week as Darth Vader himself, Madigan's henchman, the Prince of Darkness, has successfully defended previous legislative maps against lawsuits. To allow plaintiffs to proceed now mid-decade with their proposed redistricting challenge would invite political parties to wait until they have a wave election and use their best election results to justify a partisan challenge to the legislative map, the Democrats' lawyer said in their filing. The current state House and Senate maps were passed in 2021 and implemented in 2022 following the 2020 census. Republicans have not gained any seats in the General Assembly since then, keeping them as the minority. Republicans and supporters of redistricting reform in Illinois haven't had much success in court in recent decades. The Illinois Supreme Court blocked a 2016 citizen-driven referendum attempting to create an independent redistricting commission. The lead plaintiff in that case was John Hooker, a now convicted conspirator in the ComEd 4 case. Other Republican efforts to throw out the 2011 legislative maps were also rejected by the courts. Lawyers for Welch and Harmon said in a March 19th filing, Republicans should have filed their lawsuit with the Illinois Supreme Court after the maps were enacted in 2021 instead of filing it more than 3 years later. These arguments could have and should have been raised years ago. Plaintiffs cannot claim they did not know about the map, Democrats' lawyer argued in a written brief. They cited claims that Republican lawmakers made during House debate on the maps in 2021 based on data Republicans shared showing the maps were not compact and drawn for Democrats' benefit. McCombie's lawyers responded that they were following their interpretation of a U.S. Supreme Court ruling that would require data from two election cycles to show any discriminatory effect caused by gerrymandering. Her lawyer said Democrats were putting them in a catch-22 situation, comparing it to a heads-I-win-tails-you-lose game. If a plaintiff brings a gerrymandering challenge right after a map is passed, then interveners would argue that the claim should fail on the merits because of insufficient evidence of the map's effect, McCombie's lawyers wrote. And if a plaintiff waits to collect evidence of the map's effects, interveners would argue that the claim would fail procedurally. Republican lawyers argued that the 2024 election was the last time the district map was used, meaning there's a recent injury to voters and Republicans, which also satisfy timeliness requirements. They also cite a common law doctrine, which says the government generally isn't subject to statutes of limitations. Democrats also argued any redistricting the court might order would interfere with the Senate's staggered terms. Illinois senators have terms of either 2 or 4 years, so the entire body is not up for re-election at the same time. Democrats' lawyers argued senators elected in 2024 could have the 4-year term they were elected to wrongfully reduced. McCombie's lawyers rejected that idea, citing case law in which redistricting still allowed representatives to finish out the term for which they were elected, and that a mapmaker could separately be directed to not unseat any senators when redrawing districts. McCombie has requested oral arguments for the suit, but the court has yet to say what the next steps will be in the case. And their photo here shows House Republican leader Tony McCombie, Republican of Savannah, speaking at a news conference at the State House on January 28, 2025, about how the House GOP's lawsuit against Illinois legislative maps. There's also a woman standing next to McCombie at the podium, and I take it that that is the other person that we talked about in the story. In more local and national news on page A3, cops, fast food worker attacks boss. A burger assembler at a Decatur Dairy Queen Grill and Chill restaurant became furious when told he had done it all wrong and went after his manager with a kitchen knife, police said. The trouble erupted Monday afternoon at the restaurant at 230 West 1st Drive when the manager voiced his criticism to employee Emmanuel S. Wiggins Jr. over the faulty burger, according to a sworn affidavit from the Decatur Police Department. Wiggins became extremely angry with the manager for correcting him on a burger he made wrong, said Officer Joshua Davis, who signed the affidavit. The manager said Wiggins threatened to kill him and grabbed one of the knives in the kitchen hanging on the wall and came at him with the knife. The manager said Wiggins threatened to kill him and grabbed one of the knives in the kitchen hanging on the wall and came at him with the knife. The manager said Wiggins attacked him with the knife, swinging it at him and striking him with it approximately 3 times in the left side and back area. The manager suffered 2 small puncture wounds and additional lacerations and abrasions, according to Davis. The officer said he photographed the wounds and also noted the attack had been witnessed by another employee. Wiggins is described as admitting what he'd done when police arrived at the restaurant and arrested him. Wiggins admitted to Decatur Police Department officers that he had attacked the manager with the knife and said the manager was lucky he didn't kill him, Davis said. Wiggins was arraigned Tuesday in Macon County Circuit Court on 2 charges of aggravated battery involving a deadly weapon and aggravated battery in a public place. Judge Lindsay Shelton denied the defendant pretrial release on the grounds he posed too much of a danger to the public if freed from the Macon County Jail. Wiggins is due back in court for preliminary hearing April 2nd, when he will enter a formal plea to the charges. A check of his record, however, shows that this latest case isn't the only legal problem. Wiggins had pleaded guilty January 21st to a case of criminal damage as part of a plea deal that saw him sentenced to a 12-month conditional discharge and 30 hours of community service work. His progress in completing the sentence had been scheduled for review on October 24th. ATM crash thieves sought. Local law enforcement are investigating 2 attempts at ATM thefts in Macon County. The suspects, believed to be the same in both incidents, were successful at retrieving the machine during their second try, but only after their first attempt was unsuccessful. According to Sergeant Ben Massey with the Decatur Police Department, an ATM was stolen at approximately 2:35 a.m. Monday, March 24th, from a store in the 2900 block of East Ferries Parkway in Decatur. It looks like they had backed into the building, creating an opening, he said. They were able to pull the ATM out of the store. Based on the time frame and information that was shared between the police department and the Macon County Sheriff's Office, the suspects appear to have attempted the same maneuver approximately 45 minutes before in Long Creek. The Macon County Sheriff's Office responded to an alarm at Casey's on U.S. East Route 36 on Monday morning at 1:48 a.m., and Sergeant S. E. Flannery of the Macon County Sheriff's Department responding deputies found that the front window area had been smashed open with an apparent vehicle of some sort. Video surveillance showed a truck was used to back into the store in an attempt to steal the ATM machine. Although the theft was unsuccessful, it was later determined that the Decatur Police Department was also looking for the same vehicle, believing it was involved in the successful smash and grab of an ATM in its jurisdiction. Anyone with information on the thefts can reach police at 217-424-2734 or call Crime Stoppers at 217-423-8477. Again, those numbers are 424-2734 or 423-8477. DeWitt County Museum to open. The C.H. Moore Homestead in DeWitt County Museum at 219 East Woodlawn Street in Clinton is calling on its history buffs, curious minds, avid thrifters, and more to experience its 2025 programming. A news statement from the museum said that the season kicks off Tuesday with open hours set for 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Tuesday through Saturday and 1 to 5 p.m. on Sundays. Admission is $10 for adults, $5 for people ages 6 to 18, and free for kids 5 and under. Members of the DeWitt County Museum Association get in free. Programming this year includes two special presentations. The first will be given by Guy C. Fraker at 1:30 p.m. April 27th and is titled Abraham Lincoln and Anne Rutledge. Is the story true? The second is Amber Borking Rutledge's August 3rd presentation, Honey Through the Ages, A Tasting Journey. The museum gift shop also has revamped with new seasonal merchandise and store specials, the statement continued. Visitors to the museum can tour the period-furnished Victorian mansion, the historical houses of DeWitt County exhibit, the Kent Collection, a carriage barn, spring house, and more. And now I need to refer back to the first story I read today about the Millikan Theater and Dance Department's musical Everybody Rocks, Rocks, Rocks children's show. So if you go, it's Everybody Rocks, 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 and it's a children's show. It's at 10 a.m. Saturday, March 29th, and 2 p.m. Sunday, March 30th. It's at Millikan University Center for Theater and Dance in the Virginia Rogers Theater. Tickets are $5 for children, $10 for adults, and they're available at the door, cash or check only. Parking is available in the Kirkland Fine Arts Center. The Center for Theater and Dance is located behind Kirkland. Now here's some hints from Heloise. Put your measuring items all in one spot. Dear Heloise, thanks to the reader who marks food products, for which she has replacements so that she doesn't overbuy. Our pantry's in the basement, and I don't often make a trip down there to check what we have, and then I end up with 3 bottles of canola oil. So it's a good idea. Here's my hint. I keep all my measuring cups and spoons in a basket on a bottom shelf. I just take out the basket, and they are all there when I cook or bake. No digging for the missing third cup or half teaspoon for me. Signed, Mary W. in Marquette, Michigan. Flossing. Dear Heloise, regarding toothbrushing, I wanted to add my 2 cents about gums. For years I was told to floss, but I tried to a number of times and stopped because it made my gums bleed. Nobody ever mentioned that flossing would correct this, and I didn't think to ask. After a lot of problems as a mature adult in my 30s or so, I somehow found out flossing actually worked, but even then nobody, meaning dental people, really advised me to put floss into both sides of the spaces between my teeth. For a long time I just went up and down the middle. Luckily, I'm 85. I still have my teeth, and they are in good shape. I love your column in the Whittier Daily News, signed Betty I. in California. And that's all we have time for in the first half hour of the Decatur Herald and Review, dated Friday, March 28th, 2025. This is Barbara Ridenour. Please stay tuned.